Now, shall we again turn to the Word of God? And our reading will be from the book of Psalms. And I would like to read Psalm 145. Psalm 145. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name for ever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name for ever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honour of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom, and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts, and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand, and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name for ever and ever. We trust the Lord's blessing upon that reading of his word. Now, brethren, who are much wiser than I am, I've often said that you should never tell the folks at what time you're going to stop speaking. So I'll not do that. But I'll tell you this, when I have finished speaking, there'll still be 40 minutes left until conclusion time. So you can use the mathematics, and our brethren can think about it for the rest of the meeting. We appreciate the privilege of being here, and I personally have had more than my share, and I want to just speak a very brief word. This precious psalm has four distinctives. It's the last psalm in the collection that is called a Psalm of David. It is the last psalm with a title. It is the last of the alphabetical psalms. In the collection there are 8 psalms that are based upon the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And this is the last of those 8 psalms. You can see that in the psalm there are 21 verses. And if the alphabet has 22 letters, but the author here, guided by the Holy Spirit, only uses 21 of them, the psalm is not perfectly alphabetical, and I may have time to mention why that is so. One letter is omitted. And tell me afterwards which letter it is and why it is omitted. I think there is a very special reason, but I don't expect to be able to go into that this afternoon. The fourth distinction of the psalm is it's the only psalm in the collection of 150 that has the word praise in the title. You notice the title says, David's Psalm of Praise. If you have a Bible that supplies italics, the word Psalm of are in italics, those two words, so that the title is really David's praise. In the Hebrew text, this particular psalm has 150 words. And it's almost as if the music of the whole book of Psalms is distilled into one great concentrated chorus of praise. There is no petition in the psalm. It is undivided thanksgiving and adoration. This is a thanksgiving conference, and we have much for which we can thank the Lord. And I want to say a little bit about that particular subject, the importance of praise in the lives of the Lord's people. You notice that David, on this occasion, he had a resolution to praise. In the opening verses, he states the vow that he has taken, and he does it emphatically in verse 1, I will extol thee. I will bless thee. Verse 2, I will praise thy name forever and ever. It seems to me almost as if he is saying, let others do what they desire. But he said, I will make it my business, and I will consider it my bounden duty and my spiritual delight to praise. Dear Christians, let us be a thankful people. I've discovered in the shortness of my life's experience that if you get a really glad and grateful Christian, you'll have discovered an individual who will give very little trouble. May God make us increasingly praising people. I meet enough cranks. It was actually in Canada, you'll hardly believe this, but it's true. And I tried to say a word one day on spiritual gifts, and I was going out of the meeting, and a dear brother was at the door. He said, I know what gift I have. Oh, I said, and what gift would that be? He said, the gift of complaining. I believed him. Are you a critic? Are you a crank? Are you becoming a withered old Christian when we bask in the blaze of bountiful blessings? We should be a praising people, and let us praise, and let us set our hearts upon praising. You can easily slide into negativity, but may God grant that, like this man, our resolution will be to say, I will praise, I will bless, I will extol. Let others behave as they will. I'm going to make praise the chorus of my life. The second matter I want to mention is the range of his praise. He uses a great variety of verbs here. He said, I will extol. He says, I will bless. I will praise. This offering of his adoration to God is not something that is going to become monotone. It is not something that is going to become boring. It is not something that is going to lose variety. He said, I have so much to praise my God for. He said, I'll extol him. I'll bless him. You know, we have a great vocabulary of praise and thanksgiving and worship. We thank God for what he has given. We praise God for what he has done. We worship God for what he is. And the rich vocabulary of praise. There is nothing repetitive. Dear Christians, we have so much to praise God for. May it be a spiritual activity that will engage our spirits in a noble endeavor to send a constant chorus of gratitude heavenward. I think it was Lewis who is credited with calling Earth the silent planet. We live in a world that is very noisy. And yet from this planet, there must be a deafening silence. Millions of people in our world rise every day, enjoy a day of health. And when the day is over, there's not a single note of gratitude that goes to God. May we make up for their deficiency And may it never be a silent planet as long as we are here. May from the heart of every Christian, rich praise rise to God. He speaks about the regularity of his praise. In that opening verse, he says, not only will I praise the Lord, but every day. And he said, when I have done with days, he said, the praise that I will offer will spill over and fill the corridors of eternity. Every day will I praise thee, and I will bless thy holy name forever and ever. We'll not always be preaching, and we'll not always be praying. Some of us will shortly be redundant. But every Christian in the congregation today, for all eternity, we will be praising. May God grant that our eternal occupation will become our temporal one. There's never a day. It's easy for me to say this. It's a glib thing. But I think it's true. There'll never be a day that will dawn in your life, be that day ever so dark, there will never be a day that will dawn in which every one of us as God's children will not have 1,000 reasons to praise him. You know, Matthew Henry, the great commentator, in that verse, in everything give thanks. He was robbed one day, and in his diary for the next day, he made a record of the fact that he had a reason for thanking God on 4 counts. He says, yesterday I was robbed, and my first cause for thanksgiving is this, that they took away my purse, but they didn't take my life. My second reason for giving thanks is this, that although they took my purse, there wasn't much money in it. He wasn't a Scotchman either. And he said, my third reason for giving thanks is that though I was robbed yesterday, I had never been robbed before. And he said, my fourth reason for thanksgiving is, I thank God that I was the one who was robbed and not the one who did the robbing. In everything, give thanks. Dear Christians, let it be a Thanksgiving conference that will send us away glad and grateful for all that our God has done. The resolve to pray. The regularity of his praise, the richness of his praise, the range of his praise, the recipient of his praise. I will praise thee, O God, my King. There's a royal relationship that this man enjoyed with God. I have links with a God like that, and he will be the recipient of the adoration of my heart. But then, you would say to me, it's one thing to talk about praising the Lord every day and to being a grateful Christian, but what are you going to praise him for? You'll need to have substance. You'll need to have content in your chorus of thanksgiving. You'll need to have reasons. Well, really, this psalm is taken up with reasons for praising the Lord, and there are 5 of them. The first reason is in verse number 3. He says, the Lord is great. And his greatness is unsearchable. And he thinks about the grandeur of the person of God. You see, we live in a world where we are constantly treated to a diet of the deification of man. I hope, dear believers, that we'll be singing constantly in our hearts, then sings my soul, my Saviour, God to thee, how great thou art. Great in wisdom, great in power, great in love, great in counsel. And I would say on Monday, today, just praise God that is great. Tuesday is verse number 8. The Lord is gracious. You see, there are some people who are great, but I tell you, you wouldn't need to be expecting any gifts from them, for they're not gracious. And they wouldn't even give a side glance to insignificant creatures such as you and me. But dear fellow believers, we not only worship our God today because of his greatness, but his matchless grace. Grace it was, yea, grace abounding, brought thee down to save the lost. We are thankful that such a great God has acted with such magnanimous grace. And here we are amongst the saved. He's gracious. Verse number 9 says, the Lord is good. You see, God's goodness didn't save me. It was his grace. But every day we live, and the clothes we wear, and the food we eat, and the health we enjoy, every one of those precious advantages is a token of the Lord's goodness. He speaks in this very psalm about the Lord's care for every living thing, his tender mercies over all his works. There must be millions of birds in the jungles of this earth, and no ornithologist has ever seen them. And no one ever puts out a little bird table to feed them. Who feeds them? Just the God that made them. He's good. Look at verse number 17. The Lord is great. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is good. The Lord is righteous. I have known in my life people that were maybe kind enough, but they would bend the rules a wee bit. They wouldn't be righteous. They might be gracious, but you know our God is righteous in all his ways. He always gives a fair deal. We can depend upon him for ultimate vindication. He's the God of right. And the last is verse 18. The Lord is near to all that call upon him. You know what it is to make your call and you get the engaged tone. Or else you get that answer machine. Oh, I deplore those things. It's the very thing they can't do. Sorry, the person is not available. And you call. And you're just put off with a recorded message. And you can't get through. Dear Christians, we are linked to a God. And every hour of every day, we can make contact with the throne of heaven. And he's near. He's not a God at a distance. Is it any wonder that the psalmist said he would praise God every day? On Monday, praise him because he is great. On Tuesday, praise him because he is gracious. On Wednesday, because he is good. On Thursday, because he is righteous. On Friday, because he is near. And I don't know what you're going to do on Saturday and the Lord's Day, but if you do it well the first 5 days, I think you'll manage for the next two. And you'll find that God is altogether praiseworthy. Let me say this as I sit down. There's an octave of David's Psalms here. There are 8 Psalms, and this is the 8th. If you count back the previous 7 Psalms, those 7 Psalms are Psalms of trouble and petition. There is a cry of need in every one of those Psalms. And once you get to this 8th one, it's the great Psalm of the Kingdom. And I think those first 7 Psalms are the cries of saints in the 7 years of tribulation. And when their cries are answered, and the 7 years of trouble are past, they'll come into the kingdom psalm of 145. And from every corner of this globe on that glad millennial day, anthems of adoration will ascend in praise to the God of our salvation. May he make us evermore a thankful, grateful, happy, praising people in the theme and to the tune of Psalm 145. May the Lord bless this short word.